Hey Boo, we're continuing chapter 6 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. This is the third part. And maybe we can even finish this chapter, we'll see. If it's not even... Well, we'll see how it goes. But, so they had just finished their transfiguration class and they were yakking. Harry was pleased to get out of the castle after lunch. Yesterday's rain had cleared, the sky was a clear pale gray, and the grass was springy and damp underfoot as they set off for their first ever Pair of Magical Creatures class. Ron and Hermione weren't speaking to each other. Harry walked beside them in silence as they went down to the sloping lawns towards Hagrid's hut on the edge of the Forbidden Forest. It was only when he spotted three only too familiar backs ahead of them that he realized they must be having these lessons with the Slytherins. Malfoy was talking animatedly to Crabbe and Goyle, who were chortling. Harry was quite sure he knew what they were talking about. Hagrid was waiting for his class at the door of his hut. He stood in his moleskin overcoat, with Fang, the boarhound, at his heels, looking impatient to start.
"Come on now, get a move on!"
he yelled as the class call approached.
"Got a real treat for you today. Great lesson coming up. Everyone here? Right, follow me."
For one nasty moment, Harry thought that Hagrid was going to lead them into the forest. Harry had had enough unpleasant experiences in there to last him a lifetime. However, Hagrid strolled off around the edge of the trees, and 5 minutes later, they found themselves outside a kind of paddock. There was nothing in there.
"Everyone gather round the fence here," he called. "That's it. Make sure you can see. Now, first thing you want to do is open your books."
"How?" said the cold, drawling voice of Draco Malfoy.
"Eh?" said Hagrid.
"How do we open our books?" Malfoy repeated. He took out his copy of the Monster Book of Monsters, which he had bound shut with a length of rope. Other people took theirs out, too. Some, like Harry, had belted their books shut. Others had crammed them inside tight bags, or clamped them together with binder clips.
Hasn't anyone been able to open their books?" said Hagrid, looking crestfallen.
The class all shook their heads.
"You got to stroke them," said Harry, as though this was the most obvious thing in the world. "Look."
He took Hermione's copy and ripped off the spellotape that bound it. The book tried to bite, but Hagrid ran a giant forefinger down its spine. The book shivered, and then fell open and lay quiet in his hand.
"Oh, how silly we've all been," Malfoy sneered. "We should have stroked them. Why didn't we guess?" I thought they were funny," Hagrid said uncertainly to Hermione.
"Oh, tremendously funny," said Malfoy. "Real witty, giving us books that try to rip our hands off."
"Shut up, Malfoy," said Harry quietly.
Hagrid was looking downcast, and Harry wanted Hagrid's first lesson to be a success. Lord knows why. I don't understand why they deal with this guy.
"Right then," said Hagrid, who seemed to have lost his thread. "So, you got your books, and now you need the magical creatures. Yeah, so I'll go and get them. Hang on."
He strode away from them into the forest and out of sight.
"God, this place is going to the dogs," said Malfoy loudly. "That oaf teaching classes, my father will have a fit when I tell him."
"Shut up, Malfoy," Harry repeated.
"Careful, Potter, there's a Dementor behind you."
"Ooh," squealed Lavender Brown, pointing toward the opposite side of the paddock. Trotting toward them were a dozen of the most bizarre creatures Harry had ever seen. They had the bodies, hind legs, and tails of horses, but the front legs, wings, and heads of what seemed to be giant eagles with cruel, steel-colored beaks and large, brilliant orange eyes. The talons on their front legs were half a foot long and deadly-looking. Each of the beasts had a thick leather collar around its neck, which was attached to a long chain, and the ends of all these were in the vast hands of Hagrid, who came jogging into the paddock behind the creatures.
"Geed up there," he roared, shaking the chains and urging creatures toward the fence where the class stood.
Everybody drew back slightly as Hagrid reached them and tethered the creatures to the fence.
"Hippogriffs," Hagrid roared happily, waving a hand at them. "Beautiful, aren't they?"
Harry could sort of see what Hagrid meant. Once you got over the first shock of seeing something that was half horse, half bird, you started to appreciate the hippogriffs' gleaming coats, changing smoothly from feather to hair, each of them a different color, stormy gray, bronze, pinkish roan, gleaming chestnut, and inky black.
"So," said Hagrid, rubbing his hands together and beaming around, "if you want to come a bit nearer..."
Nobody seemed to want to. Harry, Ron, and Hermione, however, approached the fence cautiously.
"Now, first thing you gotta know about hippogriffs. They're proud," Hagrid said. "Easily offended, hippogriffs are. Don't never insult one, because it might be the last thing you do."
Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle weren't listening. They were talking in an undertone, and Harry had a nasty feeling they were plotting on how best to disrupt the lessons.
"You always wait for the hippogriff to make the first move," Harry continued. "It's polite, see? You walk towards him, and you bow, and you wait. If he bows back, you're allowed to touch him. If he doesn't bow, then get away from him, sharpish, because those talons hurt."
"Right, who wants to go first?"
Most of the class backed farther away in answer. Even Harry, Ron, and Hermione had misgivings. The hippogriffs were tossing their fierce heads and flexing their powerful wings. They didn't seem to be like being tethered like this.
"No one?"
said Hagrid with a pleading look.
"I'll do it," said Harry. There was an intake of breath from behind him, and both Lavender and Parvati whispered,
"Ooh, no, Harry, remember your tea leaves."
Harry ignored him. He climbed over the paddock fence.
"Good man, Harry," roared Hagrid. "Right then, let's see how you get on with Buckbeak."
He untied one of the chains, pulled the gray hippogriff away from its fellows, and slipped off its leather collar. The class on the other side of the paddock seemed to be holding his breath. Malfoy's eyes were narrowed maliciously.
"Easy now, Harry," said Hagrid quietly. "You've got eye contact. Try not to blink. Hippogriffs don't trust you if you blink too much."
Harry's eyes immediately began to water, but he didn't shut them. Buckbeak had turned his great sharp head and was staring at Harry with one fierce orange eye.
"That's it," said Hagrid. "That's it, Harry. Now bow."
Harry didn't feel much like exposing the back of his neck to Buckbeak, but he did as he was told. He gave a short bow and looked up. The hippogriff was staring haughtily at him. It didn't move.
"Ah," said Harry, Hagrid, sounding worried. "Right, back away now, Harry. Easy does it."
But then, to Harry's enormous surprise, the hippogriff suddenly bent its scaly front knees and sank into what was an unmistakable bow.
"Well done, Harry," said Hagrid, ecstatic. "Right, you can touch him. Pat his beak. Go on."
Feeling that a better reward would have been to back away, Harry moved slowly towards the hippogriff and reached out towards it. He patted the beak several times, and the hippogriff closed its eyes lazily as though he enjoyed it. The class broke into applause, all except for Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle, who were looking deeply disappointed.
"Right then, Harry," said Hagrid. "I reckon he might let you ride him."
This was more than Harry had bargained for. He was used to a broomstick. He wasn't quite sure a hippogriff would be the same.
"You climb up there, just behind the wing joint," said Hagrid. "And mind, you don't pull any of his feathers out. He won't like that."
Harry put his foot on the top of Buckbeak's wing and hoisted himself onto its back. Buckbeak stood up. Harry wasn't sure whether to hold on. Everything in front of him was covered in feathers.
"Go on, then," roared Hagrid, slapping the hippogriff's hindquarters.
Without warning, 12-foot wings flapped open on either side of Harry. He had just time to seize the hippogriff around the neck before he was soaring upward. It was nothing like a broomstick, but Harry knew which one he preferred. The hippogriff's wings beat uncomfortably on each side of him, catching him under his legs and making him feel as if he was about to be thrown off. The glossy feathers slipped under his fingers, and he didn't dare get a stronger grip. Instead of the smooth action of his Nimbus 2000,
He now felt himself rocking backward and forward as the hindquarters of the hippogriff rose and fell with its wings. Buckbeak flew him around once around the paddock, and then headed back to the ground. This was the bit Harry had been dreading. He leaned back as the smooth neck lowered, feeling he was going to slip over the beak, and then felt a heavy thud as the four ill-assorted feet hit the ground. He just managed to hold on and push himself straight again.
Good work,
Harry, roared Hagrid, as everyone else except for Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle cheered.
Okay, who else wants to go?
Emboldened by Harry's success, the rest of the class climbed cautiously into the paddock. Hagrid untied the hippogriffs one by one, and soon people were bowing nervously all over the paddock. Neville ran repeatedly backward from his, which didn't seem to want to bend his knees. Ron and Hermione practiced on the chestnut while Harry watched. Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle had taken over Buckbeak. He had bowed to Malfoy, who was now patting his beak, looking disdainful.
"This is very easy," Malfoy drawled, loud enough for Harry to hear him. "I knew it must have been if Potter could do it. I bet you're not dangerous at all, are you?" he said to the hippogriff. "Are you, you great ugly brute?" It happened in a flash of steely talons. Malfoy let out a high-pitched scream, and the next moment Hagrid was wrestling Buckbeak back into his collar as he strained to get at Malfoy, who lay curled on the grass, blood blossoming over his robes. "I'm dying," Malfoy yelled as the class panicked. "I'm dying. Look at me. It's killed me."
"You're not dying," said Hagrid, who had gone very white. "Someone help me. Gotta get him out of here."
Hermione ran to hold open the gate as Hagrid lifted Malfoy easily. As they passed, Harry saw that there was a long, deep gash on Malfoy's arm. Blood spattered on the grass, and Hagrid ran with him up the slope toward the castle. Very shaken, the Care of Magical Creatures class followed at a walk. The Slytherins were all shouting at Hagrid.
"They should fire him right away," said Pansy Parkinson, who was in tears.
"It's Malfoy's fault," snapped Dean Thomas.
Crabbe and Goyle flexed their muscles threateningly. They all climbed the stone steps into the deserted hall.
"I'm going to go see if he's okay," said Pansy,
and they all watched her run up the marble staircase. The Slytherins, still muttering about Hagrid, headed away in the direction of their dungeon common room. Harry, Ron, and Hermione proceeded upstairs towards Gryffindor Tower.
"Do you think he will be all right?" asked Hermione nervously.
"Of course he will. Madame Pomfrey can mend cuts in about a second," said Harry, who had far worse injuries mended magically by the nurse. "And that was really a bad thing to happen in Hagrid's first class, though, wasn't it?" said Ron, looking worried. "Trust Malfoy to mess things up for him." They were among the first to reach the great hall at dinner time, hoping to see Hagrid, but he wasn't there.
"They wouldn't fire him, would they?" asked Hermione anxiously, still not touching her steak and kidney pudding.
"Yuck."
"They'd better not," said Ron, who wasn't eating either. Harry was watching the Slytherin table. A large group, including Crabbe and Goyle, were huddled together, deep in conversation. Harry was sure that they were cooking up their own version of how Malfoy had been injured.
"Well, you can't say it wasn't an interesting first day back," said Ron gloomily.
They went up to the crowded Gryffindor common room after dinner and tried to do the homework Professor McGonagall had given them, but all three of them kept breaking off and glancing out the tower window.
"There's a light on in Hagrid's window," Harry said suddenly.
Ron looked at his watch.
"If we hurried, we could go down and see him. It's still quite early."
"I don't know," said Hermione slowly, and Harry saw her glance at him.
"I'm not allowed to walk across the grounds," he said pointedly. I'm allowed to walk across the grounds," he said pointedly. "Sirius Black hasn't got past the Dementors yet, has he?"
So they put their things away and headed out of the portrait hall, glad to meet nobody on their way to the front doors, as they weren't entirely sure they were supposed to be out. The grass was still wet and looked almost black in the twilight. When they reached Hagrid's hut, they knocked, and a voice growled,
"Come in."
Hagrid was sitting in his shirt sleeves at the scrubbed wooden table. His boarhound, Fang, had his head in Hagrid's lap. One look told them that Hagrid had been drinking a lot. There was a pewter tankard almost as big as a bucket in front of him. He seemed to be having difficulty getting them into focus.
"Expect it's a record," he said thickly when he recognized them. "Don't reckon they've ever had a teacher who lasted only one day before."
"You haven't been fired, Hagrid," gasped Hermione.
"Not yet," said Hagrid miserably, taking a huge gulp of whatever was in the tankard. "It's only a matter of time, ain't it, after Malfoy?"
"How is he?" said Ron as they sat down. "It wasn't serious, was it?"
"Madame Pomfrey fixed him best she could," said Hagrid dully. "But he's saying he's still agony, covered in bandages, moaning."
"He's faking it," said Harry at once. "Madame Pomfrey can mend anything. She regrew my bones last year. Trust Malfoy to milk it for all it's worth."
"School governor's been told, of course," said Hagrid miserably. "They reckon I started too big. Should have left Hippogriffs for later. Done flabberworms or something. Started Bankergriff's first lesson. It's all my fault."
"It's all Malfoy's fault, Hagrid," said Hermione earnestly. "We're witnesses," said Harry. "You said Hippogriff's attack if you insult them. It's Malfoy's problem. He wasn't listening. We'll tell Dumbledore what really happened."
"Yeah, don't worry, Hagrid. We'll back you up," said Ron.
Tears leaked out of the crinkled corners of Hagrid's beetle-black eyes. He grabbed both Harry and Ron and pulled them into a bone-breaking hug.
"I think you've had enough to drink, Hagrid," said Hermione firmly. She took the tankard from the table and went outside to empty it.
"Maybe she's right," said Hagrid, letting go of Harry and Ron, who both staggered away, rubbing their ribs.
Hagrid heaved himself out of his chair and followed Hermione unsteadily outside. They heard a splash.
"What's he done?" said Harry nervously as Hermione came back with the empty tankard.
"Stuck his head in the water barrel," said Hermione, putting the tankard away.
Hagrid came back, his long hair and beard sopping wet, wiping the water out of his eyes.
"That's better," he said, shaking his head like a dog and drenching all of them. "Listen, it was good of you to come and see me, really."
Hagrid stopped dead, staring at Harry as though he'd only just realized he was there.
"What do you think you're doing, eh?" he roared, so suddenly that they jumped a foot in the air. "You're not to go wandering around after dark, Harry, and you too, letting him."
Hagrid strode over to Harry, grabbed his arm, and pulled him to the door.
"Come on," Hagrid said angrily. "I'm taking you all the way back up to your school. Don't let me catch you walking around after dark. I'm not worth that."
And that's the end of chapter 6. And next we'll read chapter 7, presumably in multiple parts, called The Boggart in the Wardrobe. And I hope you like that, my sweetheart. I love you so much and can't wait to see you soon. You're my sweet kitty. I love you. Sleep well. Good night.